Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com.
I'm Erin Fairbanks, host of The Farm Report. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
All right. Welcome, everybody. That's the sound of the news of the main course, the first show each and every week on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Patrick Martins, and this is the last show of 2014. Also, is my last kind of show. I mean, I'm still going to be doing shows now and then, but the main course is going to be taken over by a new team. We'll talk about that later. But very, very excited to be here on the eve of Christmas. It's not Christmas Eve, but it's right before Christmas. And as hopefully will be a tradition, we have everybody in studio from the Heritage Foods USA office. It's really the mail order office, but they do other things. And we have, in no particular order, Catherine Greeley.
Woo, hello.
Alexis McLaughlin.
Hi.
Mary McCarthy.
Hi.
Mayor Bear. And Laura Del Campo.
Yeah.
So mail order is an interesting business. It basically involves all aspects of Heritage Foods USA and selling heritage breed meats from small farms around the country direct to homes. And people can get a Boston butt or steaks. It's a very, very noble business for small farms by opening them up to a national market. So you guys had a historic year. You broke all records. This is like a kind of dream team of sorts for the mail order world. So give us a rough summary. We'll start with you, Catherine. I mean, take us through 2014 and some of the big events that's happened.
Well, yes, it's been a very exciting year. We started in the spring last year with Our lamb project, which kind of bloomed this year with a new farmer who we were working with, who raises Dorset Horn and Tunis and Navajo Churro lambs.
These are all very rare breeds, right?
Yes, exactly. And we also revamped our entire website. So it's a really fun. We added a lot of new features to bring in our blog and kind of some educational pieces, as well as some really fun ways of showcasing the farmers that we work with.
Because in a way, like these big companies that raise the shittiest food in the world, like Smithfield, Purdue, they're safe foods, but they're not humanely raised. Those animals really suffer. They have huge budgets for things like websites, right?
Exactly.
So the people often producing the best food have the greatest challenge to get the word out there and to communicate things effectively to people who don't know who they are. So this seemed to be the first year that we, kind of competed with the very best websites in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know, Alexis, you played a big role in kind of spearheading the website in particular, just to jump off where Catherine stopped. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I came on the team last spring, just about when the website really project took off. And we decided we wanted to change and just kind of grow the website. And I think it's been really interesting for the customers too, because they've had a really positive response to like the educational components that we've included. Just, having access to breed information and to about the farmer. I think that that's something that consumers are looking for, more now than they were maybe like 10 years ago. So that's been great.
Yeah, the breed thing, it's like we started developing taste notes. You guys tasted all the foods, and it's funny, we had never done that before, but it's the nuances of taste that distinguish the breeds that we sell. And it's very interesting to see how different the breeds can taste. But and to add taste characteristics, some lamb is very heavy and lanoly, and then other ones are very mild, and they're hair sheep, and so each season demands different recipe, and it's important to know this stuff.
Yeah, and I think the customers are looking for that too when they're shopping, because they've, you know, these are breeds that people have never heard of before, and they've also never tasted them before, and they kind of want to know, how do I cook it? What does it go with? What makes it different? What stands out?
So what are some of the best taste notes you've heard? Words used to describe meat.
Woodsy.
Woodsy. Doesn't like a good taste of wood. Now, speaking of wood and bark and things that are kind of native to the U.S., Mary came on and did a very interesting project. She actually came on to launch the Slow Food Arc of Taste program. It's really the first ever sales force for Arc products. So describe how that relationship happened.
Yeah, so I had come from a science background and sort of got a little frustrated just researching biodiversity, and wanted to see how we could actually promote it. And so I ended up volunteering for Slow Food last spring and doing some work for them, researching products on the Arc of Tastes, kind of unexpectedly fell in love with it. And then through them got connected with the Heritage team here, and have enjoyed the last several months doing that. But yeah, it just sort of fell into our laps that right after I had joined at Heritage, Slow Food came to us and wanted to do sort of like some co-promotion. We already were carrying these rare breeds and these Arc of Taste breeds, so it only made sense to try and expand that. And then we got to do a great event with Alice and Carlo around it too, which, I mean,
Alice Waters and Carlo Pacini,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and I could have never imagined, you know, when I was researching Amish deer tongue lettuce in the spring at Slow Foods that would happen. So it was pretty great.
Very interesting. And tell us about some of the more interesting, maybe the pre-Columbian foods that are part of your ARC package, or just the regular, you know, foods post-Columbus.
Yeah, so pre-Columbian, I would say we have the Sonoran wheat berries, which are actually one of my favorite products that we carried. And those are, they're a really cool variety of wheat that are, compared to commercial grains, more drought resistant and blight resistant than what is in 90% of Americans' diets. So that's pretty neat. What else is pre-Columbian? Oh, the pecans. Those pecans are definitely pre-Columbian. The actual trees that they're grown from probably aren't pre-Columbian, but I'm sure the variety of tree is.
You gotta eat them to save them, right?
Yep,
Mary, you've always said that.
Always said that.
Now, Laura, just to complete it, now you kind of came via radio, right?
I did.
And then you were homeless for a while and you needed a job. And so tell us your role.
Sort of like the story of my life. No, I am.
You're like a rookie here. So, I mean, you're the newest person on the team. So tell us your impressions and why you're here.
Well, my background is sort of farming and culinary. And I accidentally stumbled across Heritage Radio, and it was like the most wonderful thing. I was trying to figure out what to do in New York City, and I've come into a team of people that I love and that are doing things that I'm incredibly passionate about. I've been working on the meat side for about 2 months now, and it's been very busy and a ton of fun and really exciting for me to look forward to connecting with farmers and to seeing how the business is going to grow.
So, Catherine, now that's kind of your job description, is to grow the business. So, I mean, what have been your tactics? What advice would you give out there to a farmer in, like, Montana? I mean, what have you learned, lessons of the trade? I mean, you send out 52 emails or more, probably 60 emails a year to a group of about 30, 40,000. You've gotten into social media a little bit. I'll ask Alexis about that, too. But, I mean, tell us some of the secrets of running a team that is basically doesn't have a storefront or anything. It's a mail order company.
Yeah, it's true. The email is really, you know, one of our biggest marketing tools. The fact that we have a beautiful website now, I think, is very helpful in really connecting with other organizations that you know, have similar ideas, such as Slow Food. That's been really big for us this year, and it's really about, you know, sort of making those connections and then also offering the product. It, you know, it's really important to always be, you know, tasting, we're learning and making sure that the quality is there. And that's part of the process with the farmers too, I think, is, you know,
it has to taste great. It also has to look beautiful. And then we also have the process of sort of fulfillment and making sure that the customer receives something that's really exciting and beautiful as well.
Photos were a big part of what you guys did. I know taking big, beautiful photographs of things is a tactic. Not too wordy. I've noticed, the slow food, small farmer energy is to talk ad nauseum about a product when in reality it's enough to say that it's raised on pasture, it's one of the best lambs in the world, it's this breed, and it costs $89. And also not to be afraid of high-priced stuff. When people do want to order the best, they know that it's going to cost more than, key food, for instance. So now you've come across a lot of lessons you've always told me these past few months that you've learned on Facebook, Google. How do you get the word out? Social media would have been some of your guys' collective strategies.
Yeah, it's really about exposure and interacting with the community and with our readers and our feed. Trying to stay current and just kind of understand what conversations are happening. What do people want to talk about? What information are they looking for? And how can we be more responsive? So, we're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, just like any business.
Things in particular, like some people don't use Facebook to drive business. They just want to say, we're out there, this is what we do. You actually, didn't you guys do a contest where someone was going to win a Christmas goose or something? And it led to thousands of people signing up to our site.
Yeah, the great thing about Facebook and all of these social tools now is that they allow people to share with their friends. And a big part of growing the business for Heritage since it started is just really been word of mouth. We try and offer outstanding customer service and encourage people to, share us with their friends. And then I think putting stuff out there on Facebook is now the evolution of that. Sharing. We did our annual Thanksgiving turkey giveaway this year with a Heritage turkey, and did that through Facebook and had really amazing positive responses from everyone. They were really excited. A lot of interaction. That's what you're looking for. You just want to keep it interesting and give back to people and share with them something that they are gonna value.
You do have to be prolific in that world. You constantly have to be writing blogs, showing photos, coming up with funny observations, staying very connected so that you can cross-post and do all this stuff. I mean, it's a very complicated job. So, Catherine, back to you. Break down the seasons just quickly, in a few sentences. So a mail order company that respects the natural mating cycles of animals and the seasons in the Northeast. Tell us about the big ups, the big availability of products month by month. Yeah, so January and February, what happens? Take us through the year.
Sure, they're a little slower. It's cold. We have maple syrup produced that time of year. And then shortly after that, the spring lambs become available.
Now, those are lambs that have been alive since the fall, right? And then were brought through the winter.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's right.
And you bring in 50, 60 head and sell it all via mail order, which is very unusual. It's hard to sell all the cuts of all the animals.
Right. And we started that with the half lambs, but have found that the individual pieces is really fun to do. Mm-hmm. And then we get into
summer, kind of.
Summer.
Those are the cows, the things, pigs. I mean, things that we always have. Grilling season, right?
Eighth cattle share.
And so a lot of burgers. And the pork is available year-round. So we keep carrying that as well as chickens.
Horny little buggers, aren't they?
And then we do the wild salmon in the summer. That's around July. And that's really when we start seeing more of the products available. So we get into, then we get into October with Goat-tober and our goat project. And then it's really busy with turkeys.
Turkeys, ducks, and geese. Yeah, very interesting. So there are and lamb. I mean, lamb comes back around in September too.
Right.
So you really have lamb twice a year. Goat could be twice a year, but it's once for us. Turkeys are once a year. And then my favorite, the waterfowl come to the table, you know, and ducks and geese, these weird little red meat animals that live on ponds and can fly, you know. It's so interesting that they are also part of our culinary landscape, and yet we as Americans per capita probably eat less than a pound of goose. I mean, ounces. Duck maybe a little bit more, but I always say when I go out to a restaurant, I always like ordering duck or goose if they have it, or lamb if I don't know the restaurant, because the chances of it having been raised industrially are a lot less for those animals. So, wow, it's a real thing of season. So I'm going to play a kind of round robin where I'm going to throw some foods at you, and you're going to have to explain, like, are they a pain in the ass to pack, or are they your favorite to cook? Or so we'll take a very brief break, and then we'll come for a round robin of the protein world and impressions from people who work a lot in the industry. So we'll be right back.
It is so exciting to have this new medium.
Hosting After the Jump has been a huge part of me transitioning from being a blogger to somebody who has sort of real important conversations with people in real life.
My show, I kind of describe it as an audio trade magazine.
I learn a ton from the guests every week, whether it's restaurants, bars.
All the hosts at Heritage all come from different perspectives.
Everyone should be listening to this. If you're interested in conservation and practical approach to renewable food sources, you know, not this big industry.
Whether it's history, laws, social policies of food, I think people now take food seriously, and hopefully what's on their plate will become something very special.
And I feel that podcasting has a future, giving people information in a format they can really use on the go.
We need your support to keep these conversations going. To donate, visit heritageradionetwork.org/donate.
All right. Well, we're back. I'm Patrick Martins, the host of The Main Course. This is the final main course of the year. And next year, I'm really excited. Phil from Momo Sushi, Phil Gilmore, who is literally the greatest restaurant host or hostess in the world. I mean, the guy is really like Sergio Marchionne or these types of guys. When he is there, it is just magic. He exudes it all the time. I mean, you need energy, so much energy to keep that going all the time. And he really does. It's always like a gift when you're with him. He's so much fun. He's so smart. He's so well liked. I've known him since day one here at Roberta's. He was a waiter, and he once gave me my favorite shirt of his, which is a big Pan Am shirt, which covers my entire body. It's like a onesie when I wear it. But Phil's a great guy, and he's going to be co-hosting the main course with Alexis, who is one of the people here. They're going to come in on Sundays and bring fresh new spirit and energy to this. I was the first to 200 shows on the network, worked back in the early days with the old engineering team of, remember their names. There was a guy named Lorenzo, Nate, Nathaniel Wiener, who built the whole studio out, way back in the day. Then Jack and all those guys. There was EJ was an engineer. I mean, these were many, many, many years ago. So I was the first to 200, and now, you know, I'll still be involved and do shows, but you guys will take some of the pressure off of having to come in week in and week out. So I'm really excited about the future of the main course. But we are talking about Heritage Foods, which is a national distributor of meats, wholesale and mail order. And we do about 60,000 pounds of protein a week that we sell. It's a tremendous amount. We sell everything nose to tail except steaks. That's the one thing we kind of cherry pick the best cuts on. And it is. I mean, our catalog is unbelievable. I mean, I am shocked when people do a top 10 food websites, and if we're not on it, it's not a legitimate contests because, you know, like Time Out and these groups, oh, we'll do a totally different group of websites. I'm like, listen, our website always has to be the top 10 because it is unbelievable the diversity of stuff that we have. So we're going to learn a little bit about these products through a round robin. So you have under 30 seconds to talk about your first impressions of these things. So, Laura, we're starting with you. Close to the mic.
All right.
Sausage sampler.
Ooh. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. we have about 12 different sausages that we provide. And they are fun to pack, I guess. You got to be close to the ice. Got to keep them really cold. It's also a lot of variety. I mean, sausages are great because you can use different cuts of the animal and buy cuts from other prime cuts on the animal when it's getting broken down. And you can kind of season that meat any way you like. And there's a lot of flexibility in how it's cooked. So I think sausages are just kind of something that are appropriate at any time of the day and are often very, very satisfying.
And you'll eat 4 to 5 a day. I mean, I've been counting. Yes.
Every day.
We're wondering why our inventory numbers have plummeted. Catherine, ground lamb and lamb chops.
And lamb chops. Ground lamb is delicious. We have been experimenting with that at the office, and it's great for a little bit of a leaner meatball or, you know, mixing with some other types of like ground pork and or beef to make like a meatloaf, something like that. We have four different varieties at the office right now, which is cool. We do a breed variety of the ground lamb.
So we're just talking Tunis?
Tunis, Katahdin, Dorset Horn, and the Navajo Churro, which is... small, limited supply, but we do have some.
And when you have a very limited supply, you essentially make the ground lamb available as part of the package, because if you were to sell it individually, you would sell out just in a few hours. So.
Yep.
And when you do ground, you're essentially helping farmers cycle through the entire animal, right?
Exactly. That's the beauty of it. So we can buy the whole animal, but we only end up bringing in a few cuts that we can, you know, kind of showcase on the site without overwhelming our freezer.
Bacon sampler and bacon subscription. Alexis.
Bacon. That one's pretty popular.
Trying to launch a subscription, right? I mean, we sell about 5 different types of bacon from 5 different cure masters around the country, but you have this thing that subscriptions are a ticket to increase sales and people like it. Is that true?
You know, well, I just think that the bacon community is underserved. we've been working on subscriptions some more this year, just because we bring in so many different types of bacon and we're dealing with like these really fantastic cure masters that are genuinely doing different things. And they're all exceptional. So we wanted to offer a way for our customers to kind of just like, you know, try that all at once. So you get a subscription 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, like a whole year, whatever you want, like for yourself or for someone else. And every month we send 3 pounds of bacon, you know, as well as like we talk about the breeds and the cure masters and the techniques and these little, you know, details, these artisanal, you know, artisanal details that, that really make it unique and different and worthwhile.
Like Al Benton's is very smoky. Paradise is an injection cure, so that's sweet, you know, and they can control the taste. But yeah, that's all different sides. I mean, bacon has been called like the American olive oil. Yeah. You know, it's like every American uses that cut. You know, it exists everywhere.
Is that something to be proud of?
Yes, I don't know. Yeah.
I think it should be.
The pig is like, good Lord. We are the olive oil of America. That does not bode for us as individuals. So, Mary, I throw to you the heritage ham, your worst nightmare.
Heritage ham is a dream and a nightmare all at once. I don't come from a culinary background, so I often feel intimidated trying to cook our meat, but the ham is like what I can manage. It's like I can do it without any skill, without any idea of what I'm doing, and it still tastes good. That being said, we went through hundreds of them in a period of months, and I sort of got sick of seeing them in the fridge. So I'm happy to see them all go. They're all gone for Christmas. We're totally sold out.
You do take pleasure from emptying fridges.
Every time I get a box out of the freezer, I have a little celebration. No one sees it because I'm in the freezer all day, but I celebrate.
So what do you do exactly? Would you call yourself the warehouse manager?
when I applied for the position, it was operations assistant. Oh. But it has since transitioned to warehouse manager.
And event coordinator.
And event coordinator. It's sort of whatever behooves you, I think, is what I'm called.
Events and warehouse.
Mare Bear is becoming my new title.
Well, Mare Bear Honey is the next thing I want to know if that's good to glaze your ham with.
It's soon to be an Arc of Taste product.
So I'll talk about Leg of Goat. I think Erin Fairbanks is the executive director of the radio, but part of her salary each year comes from working one day a week at Heritage Foods, and she does a lot in that one day. She helps cycle through about 50,000 pounds of meat, but she also launches a goat project called Goat-tober every October, and No Kid Left Behind, as she likes to say. And it's pretty impressive, like 500 to 1,000 goats processed. They're mostly male goats, which don't really serve a purpose on dairy farms. So not the best things happen to them. And this provides them a chance to live out their lives as God intended, you know, on pasture before, you know, the final calling comes. So I think she does a great job, and I hope Americans eat more goat. And it's pretty amazing that we have like 9 to 10 cuts of goat on our website, even by breed variety packs. So, all right, well, this is going well. Now let's talk about ducks and geese. Talk about the poultry sampler, Laura.
Poultry sampler is really exciting. We have some very old varieties. The farmer that we work with, Frank Reese from Good Shepherd Poultry, he can trace his genetic line back a couple hundred years on some of these birds. And Christmas goose was iconic, and it still is sort of nostalgic, but 150 years, 100, even I think up to the mid-1950s, people were eating goose, and turkeys were a lot less common. They were also a lot more expensive. Since then, there's been a lot of promotion of turkeys because they're easier to raise in more of a commercial setting. And ducks and geese are not so easy. Most of the ducks you're going to eat are Pekin ducks. Frank has about 4 varieties of heritage ducks that he's been raising for us. The geese are also really exciting. They're foragers. They like to wander around, graze, look for insects, and they need to feel a little like they have a little bit of room to roam. They also have really strong personalities. So that's pretty exciting. I don't know. I see all of that in the ducks and geese that we carry even when we're packing boxes. And it's nice to know that what we're doing is sort of supporting the regeneration. And hopefully people will start to eat more of them so we can raise more of them.
Yeah, ducks and geese are waterfowl. That's so cool. They can fly, but they're not poultry. They have their own category, and there's just 2 animals in that whole category. And yet they both totally have a tradition wrapped around them. So in the last 5 minutes, let's look to the future. This is a dream team that is coming back. They've all signed on for 1 more year. So, you know, at least. So that is really cool because there's positive energy. Tetwar is being built. You know, knowledge, corporate kind of culture knowledge. We're going to get better. So tell us 1 or 2 things that are really exciting about the new year. I'll start off. Catherine, then you go. I'm really excited about infographics because I love infographics. I cannot wait. Everything's an infographic. I want an infographic on the show. I mean, I want infographics everywhere. People love infographics. Especially because of the history of all of our breeds, like seeing how they came from England and this and that. And I'm on the board of the Museum of Food and Drink, and I'm on the exhibition committee, and hearing Dave Arnold talk about a kind of exhibition on the wild pig becoming the domesticated pig. And then there's like 2 lines. There's the Chinese line, and then there's the Western Europe line, and then that in turn, Spain and England were the 2 main cultures for that. So, you know, a lot going on with that. But so I'm interested in the infographic just to set the bar really high on what we're going to do next year. Catherine, yeah. You were the director of mail order. You were the one that turned it around. For a decade, we were mired in bankruptcy in the mail order division, and now you blew the top off. Congratulations. So tell us about the future.
Yes, I'm very excited. You know, I feel like we've just at the end of the year started really figuring it out, you know, making everything work, and we're really just starting. So there's so many different directions we can go. I think more on the sales side, we've like Alexis was speaking about the subscription, I think there's a lot of opportunity there to kind of expand and offer different types of subscriptions. And I also am really excited about the relationships with some of the farmers that we've started to kind of work on, and I think there's a lot of opportunity to grow and bring in some additional breeds and some new products and really continue to offer new things.
And spread the word, because, I mean, there's not a limitless supply of livestock in the world, but there are, you know, a lot of more people who could learn about this and convert from a fast food system to a slow food system. Alexis, you brought some magic dust to the whole situation. You're like a triple threat. You can take photographs, you can sing, you can dance.
Oh, I don't sing.
You are good at, you know, banners. You have a great eye for things. You're a great messenger, a messaging person, you know, on how to convey things.
Yeah, I have a feeling I'm going to be responsible for a lot of those infographics you're talking about.
Yeah. So tell us, what do you look forward to for the future with all your creative energy?
This upcoming year, I'm pretty excited about a few different projects I have planned. Really just taking the camera out to the farms, actually getting cameras on the farms, so that we can see the animals, like these webcams, something that you could just log into and are broadcasting, you know, you can see what's going on. Going out, meeting the farmers and getting some more information and video and photographs and finally having the opportunity to expand what we get to offer, all of our readers and our followers. And
videos, just, kind of.
Yeah.
Really, the video.
Really doing the video thing. And it's not just with the farmers. Like, we want to take videos and meet the chefs, because we have this just amazing network of chefs that we work with every
week.
They're
so loyal. I mean, Roberta's is spare ribs here on their menu, Momo Sushi's, all their pork dishes.
The fried chicken fan of.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, no, it is an unbelievable. We are a chef-driven organization, for sure. There's about 120 that buy from us every single week, and they keep a whole network going. So,
yeah, well, so very excited. Yeah, so I want to get some video and just do some different things with them and just grow it.
It's going to be a great homepage. Mare Bear. We talked about bison and pre-Columbian foods for the Ark and trying to find the right way to launch the Ark, but then there's a lot of other things you do from organization of a multifaceted organization.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's clear that we're just growing leaps and bounds every month, every project, and so I see my challenge is how to sustain that and how to make that like livable for us from the warehouse, how to make sure that each customer does end up satisfied. You know, we can have these great products, but if they're not getting there and getting there on time, then we're not doing our job for the customer. So that's really my end of it, is making sure that happens. And then I see the Ark is just this like great potential for growth. And there's a huge education component that has to go with it, and a huge, you know, messaging, like you were saying, component. And so I'm excited to talk to some people about better ways that we can do that moving into the next year. But I think that they're all good things, and it's all stuff that I love doing.
Wow, that's exciting. And Laura, things for next year?
Things for next year. I'm still sort of in an observational phase in my role in the company, which is great. There are definitely some projects underway that maybe even some overlap with Heritage Radio Network as well and Heritage Foods USA. So we'll see. More to come.
And we are engineered, by the way, by Jack Inslee, who is the guy who's always in the studio and editing and airing all these shows and tagging the shows. So, Jack, what's your exciting news for next year?
Well, first of all, it's an honor to be. I'm rarely in the booth for your show anymore because I'm not here on Sundays, so it's really nice to be here.
Did you say blessing or
yes,
to not be on?
Okay. No, it's great, and I'm proud of the show and where you've come as a radio host, and hopeful for the future of the Main Course. I think Phil and Alexis are going to do a kick-ass job. Total faith in them. And we've got a lot of new shows coming on for the new season, including a show about cereal, potentially, which will be fun.
Ooh, very interesting. I bet Dave Arnold would be a good guest for that one. His cereal exhibit is, like, unbelievable every time I hear about that. So is Dave Arnold's cooking issue still the top show on the network?
It really is, and it's the most fun show by far.
Yeah, and so many call-ins. I mean, I hear about how many communications you get from around the world, really, to have their question answered.
The show has evolved into, like, I'd say half the show is Dave just ranting about things now in his personal life, you know, making jokes at Nastasia. So that's fun. But he's, I mean, he's amazing. He's a living legend. So
he is.
Every time we get to do a show with him is really a treat.
Well, very exciting. And thanks to you guys for selling all this food and for helping change the world for the better. Thanks to all the listeners who, you know, take what we do on the network and use it in their everyday lives. And we're going through our fundraising. The best way to thank all the hosts for coming in each week is making a small donation, whatever significant to you. And we will be back next year, which is ironic because it's only a couple weeks away. But when you say next year, it sounds dramatic. And we will be hosted by Alexis and Phil. And I will be back too. And thanks for listening to The Main Course. And have a safe and happy holidays.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.